Heart raced as the helicopter lifted into the sky. Although the flight to the hotel was only 10 minutes, it seemed longer. In the late afternoon heat, a kind of haze hung over the sprawling city and its skyscrapers. The blue-green water of the Gulf dazzled her. Then she saw the hotel. Hotel Dubai reminded her of part of a ship. It was a magnificent structure that rose high out of the water, linked to land by a palm tree-lined causeway. The helicopter circled the hotel once before it landed on a helipad on top of the building. Within minutes, they were met by more hotel staff who guided them into an elevator and down to their suite.
Magnificent,
Acacia said as they exited the elevator. A large central atrium ascended to the highest point of the hotel. Glass allowed the sunlight to pour in, reflected by the white balconies that ringed every floor. Aegean blue and an abundance of gold, black, and red were featured in the decor. When they arrived at their suite, the door stood open. 6 staff members, some of whom wore national dress, formed a receiving line in the entryway. Acacia accepted a hot towel to wash her hands before she retrieved a glass of champagne from a silver platter.
They pride themselves on 7-star service, Nicholas murmured as he saluted Acacia with his drink.
She sipped champagne as she followed Nicholas and the private butlers assigned to the suite. There was a dining room, a private kitchen and pantry, a sitting room, and an entertainment room, in addition to the bedrooms. Rick and Kurt's bedrooms were on the first floor. Acacia's room was situated across a wide hallway from Nicholas's on the 2nd story. The butlers unpacked Nicholas first before they moved to Acacia's room. They hung her clothes in a large dressing room and showed her the items she'd ordered through the concierge. Nicholas dismissed the hotel staff as soon as possible and stood with Acacia in the front hall. Before she could say anything, Nicholas placed a finger to his lips and crossed to the dining room. Wen emerged from the doorway. He gave Acacia a wide smile and a wave. She smiled and waved in return. He scanned her with a metal wand and paused at her left arm. He opened his silver briefcase, removed a pair of magnifying glasses, and stared at her elbow. Then he used tweezers to remove something from the fabric of her jacket. He placed the item, which looked like lint, in a small box. Then he finished scanning her from head to foot, along with the contents of her handbag, before he repeated the process on Nicholas. Acacia observed the procedure anxiously. After he finished, Wen pointed to the room he'd just vacated and gave Nicholas the thumbs up. Nicholas piloted Acacia into the dining room and closed the door.
Wen is already scanned in here, so we can talk now.
He placed his hands on her forearms and rubbed gently.
My advance team scanned the suite before we arrived, but then the hotel staff came in to deliver your clothes and a few other items. They're rescanning everything.
What did he remove from my elbow?
A surveillance device.
From where?
Nicholas shrugged.
It could be from one of the staff. It could have been placed in the helicopter and you brushed up against it.
He pulled her into his arms.
You're safe. Don't worry about it.
Acacia's forehead creased. He brushed his lips against the creases.
I'm sorry to say, this is a way of life for me.
I don't know what people hope to accomplish by eavesdropping.
She touched his jaw underneath his scar.
Please be careful.
I am always careful, mon trésor. Now that you're with me, I'll be careful with you too. I swear it.
He kissed her hungrily and lifted her arms so they wrapped around his neck. When they parted, he pushed a few curls away from her face.
What do you think of the suite?
It's incredible. Do you always stay here?
No, he grinned sheepishly. I wanted to impress you.
His confession took her aback. He looked boyish and eager to please at that moment. She found his expression endearing.
The suite is beautiful. Thank you.
She touched his chest.
But I was impressed first by your character. Would that I would find myself worthy of you.
He whispered. She frowned.
I'm as good as anyone, but not better.
That's where you're wrong.
His thumb stroked her lifeline. She tugged his head down and kissed him.
Nicholas responded by bending her backward and pressing his body against hers.
Your guest room is only for appearances.
His mouth moved to her neck.
Tonight you'll be in my bed. I hope so.
She clung to his shoulders as his lips slid to her jaw.
The dining room table looks sturdy.
He nipped her ear and pulled her upright. Acacia looked over her shoulder at the large, gleaming mahogany table.
It's about the right height.
Nicholas laughed. He gave the closed door a baleful look.
I wouldn't want you to feel embarrassed.
Acacia followed his gaze. She thought of the staff on the other side of the door. At the moment, at least, she didn't care. She removed her jacket and draped it over one of the chairs. Then she hopped up on the edge of the table and grabbed his tie. She pulled him between her knees.
Brazilians are incredible,
he whispered. She kissed him intensely and teased his tongue with hers. But when she loosened his tie, he caught her wrists with his hands.
What's the matter?
She asked.
This isn't...
He halted, his gaze on her hands.
Did I do something wrong?
He lifted his head.
No, you're magnificent. And I'm hard and wanting.
Good.
She tugged, and he released her hands.
This isn't what I want for us, hiding from the staff, a brief liaison on a table.
We were just being playful,
she said quietly.
Of course.
He touched her cheek, and Acacia was sure he could feel her blush through his fingertips.
I want to be playful, but I'm concerned about the timing.
Acacia caught the edge of her tongue with her teeth. She shifted forward to move off the table, but he stopped her. He placed his palms flat on the table on either side of her hips.
You're insulted.
She maintained eye contact.
Maybe you can explain what just happened.
I'm trying to tell you, I brought you here because I enjoy your company. I don't want you to think you're here simply for sex.
Her puzzlement lessened somewhat.
I was under the impression we'd become friends as well as lovers. A spontaneous encounter on a table could be considered friendly.
She pressed down on the table experimentally.
Then I'll make sure it happens, but later.
He moved the back of his fingers across her jaw.
I'm supposed to have a conference call in about 10 minutes. You deserve far more attention and far more time than that.
He kissed the corner of her mouth, then the other corner. Finally, he kissed the center of her lips and tugged her lower lip into his mouth.
Your wish, your pleasure,
he whispered. Acacia shivered and pulled him closer. Her cell phone rang, but she ignored it. Eventually, the call went to voicemail. When her phone rang again, Nicholas stepped back.
I think you'd better check that.
She scowled at the interruption and, with a curse, hopped off the table. She retrieved her phone from her handbag and looked at the screen. 2 missed calls from Luke. 1 voice message. 1 text from Kate, which read,
Luke is looking for you. He's worried and so am I. Please keep checking in so I know you're okay. I need a moment.
Acacia crossed to the other end of the dining room as her thumbs tapped against the screen.
At hotel in Dubai, I'm fine. I'll let Luke know I'm okay, but I don't want him to know where I am. Thanks.
She sent the text to Kate and checked her voicemail. Luke sounded agitated.
Acacia, where are you? Have you been getting my messages? Your colleague Marcel is dead. The Paris police are conducting a murder investigation. Call me.
Acacia lowered her phone and stared at it.
Something wrong?
Nicholas approached her. She tapped the screen and turned the phone off. She skirted Nicholas to return the item to her handbag.
Luke keeps calling me.
Nicholas followed. What does he want?
He wants to know where I am. He heard about Marcel. He said the Paris police are investigating the murder.
As expected. Nicholas drew near and looped his arm around her waist.
Luke needs to be told you're seeing someone.
Acacia lifted her chin.
I'll handle it.
Nicholas's eyes searched hers. He released her and took a measured step back. His expression grew blank as he moved to the large, well-stocked bar. Can I get you a drink?
No, thank you.
Acacia watched him, confused. His reaction was subdued, but the air between them was unaccountably tense. Slowly and meticulously, he poured himself a Grey Goose vodka and tonic. He sipped the drink thoughtfully.
We'll need to vacate the suite while my team goes over everything. Would you like to visit the spa?
With you?
I'm sorry. He gave her an apologetic look. I have a conference call and a few other things. You could take a swim if you like and visit the steam room, or have a massage.
Acacia looked down at her hands. His offer was thoughtful, but clearly he was still irritated about Luke.
I'm not with him. I haven't been for years.
Nicholas inhaled. I know.
You know?
She lifted her head.
How long have you known?
I knew you two had history. I wasn't sure what your feelings were for him.
Acacia's eyes narrowed.
How did you know we had history?
It came up in my investigation.
She cursed in Portuguese.
Do you investigate everyone? I wanted to know if Luke was clean or on the take.
When I met you, I was concerned you were involved in the same illegal activities as Marcel.
Despite her best efforts, Acacia felt the muscles in her shoulders grow tight.
What did you find when you investigated me?
Nicholas's features softened, and he put his drink down.
That you were intelligent and industrious, that you were well-respected and had won awards and commendations for your work prior to joining Hotel Victoire, that you had a few friends but spent most of your time alone.
This isn't fair.
She crossed her arms.
It isn't, he admitted. I began investigating you after our first interaction at the Victoire. I had no idea one day I'd have to look into those beautiful hazel eyes of yours and apologize for breaching your privacy.
Are you apologizing?
Absolutely, but only for investigating you. Luke looked into me. It was only fair for me to look into him.
How do you know he looked into you?
My people have put certain markers in place that indicate when someone, especially law enforcement, takes an interest in one of my identities. I knew a few minutes after he'd typed my name into the BRB database.
That's frightening.
Nicholas came a step closer and brought his chest in contact with hers.
Is it? Knowledge is power, but it comes with tremendous responsibility.
I don't disagree.
His expression grew thoughtful.
I'm sorry I can't accompany you to the spa, but this evening you'll have my full attention.
She rubbed her eyes.
Maybe a visit to the spa is a good idea. I wasn't able to practice my martial arts this morning. I'll work out my frustrations in the pool.
I'd rather you work them out with me.
Nicholas's voice was close to a growl. Acacia jerked her chin toward the dining room table.
We've had that conversation.
Nicholas lowered his head and his eyes leveled with hers.
Please be patient with me. We're new. We will both make mistakes. But we have something special. And I want to explore it.
All right.
Thank you for telling me about Luke.
You could have asked.
He frowned.
I've been referring to him as your boyfriend. You never corrected me. You told me it was none of my business.
She set her chin defiantly.
It wasn't. Things have changed.
He smiled.
Yes.
Which reminds me, I have something for you. He returned to the bar, where a large black box sat. He presented it to her. She gave him a questioning look. When she opened the box, she found folds of ivory silk. Nestled against the silk was a necklace, formed of large blue globes.
I wanted to give you something to commemorate our time in Santorini.
Nicholas carefully removed the necklace from the box.
This is lapis lazuli. It matches the blue from the buildings on the island.
Acacia touched her Hamsa pendant. As she looked at Nicholas holding the beautiful necklace, she unfastened it and wound it around her wrist, turning it into a bracelet.
You don't have to take off your pendant, he whispered. You could wear both.
She reached out and touched the large lapis beads.
I wouldn't want to get them scratched.
He indicated she should turn around. Carefully, he placed the necklace around her throat and fastened the large gold clasp. The globes were cool and heavy against her skin. Her fingers coasted over the smooth beads.
It's exquisite.
Nicholas turned her and took a step back. He smiled. It looks wonderful.
Thank you.
She touched the necklace again.
I love it.
His smile widened. Good. She reached up and moved her lips to his, gently stroking the back of his neck.
Do I have to go to the spa? I'd rather stay here.
He touched the curve of her cheek. I need you to work out some frustration. But save some for me.
I'll try.
She winked. Rick will go with you.
That's hardly comforting.
Nicholas chuckled. Poor Rick. With one final kiss, Nicholas pulled away. Enjoy yourself. I'll meet you here before dinner. He opened the door. Rick stood in the entryway to the suite. Nicholas followed Acacia into the hall. Rick, please escort Miss Silver to the spa. Rick grunted and opened the door to the suite. He checked the hallway before he stood to one side, waiting for Acacia. She smiled over her shoulder at Nicholas before she followed Rick into the hall. Chapter 36. The two-story hotel spa was lavishly decorated, with windows that looked out over the gulf. Acacia enjoyed a swim and a visit to the steam room before her massage treatment. Although Rick haunted her like a distant ghost, Acacia spent most of her time by herself. She enjoyed the solitude, for it gave her time to think. The angry and exacting Monsieur Breckman had turned into the noble and passionate Nicholas Cassirer. He was jealous of Luke. Acacia was certain of that. She had to smile at the odd symmetry of the two men investigating one another while trying to protect her. She was attracted to Nicholas and cared for him, but as always, she was conscious of the fact that she must conceal things from him. If he were to uncover the truth, their relationship would be over. But Acacia was determined to live in the present, enjoy Nicholas, and not worry about the future. 2 hours later, she returned to the suite, escorted by Rick. The spa had been incredible, and she was undeniably relaxed. But Rick had not spoken a word to her. Wen scanned Rick and Acacia as they re-entered the suite, finding nothing. Acacia turned to Rick as Wen retreated into the room that had become a command center.
Thank you,
she said in English. Rick's face was impassive. Then, to her surprise, he spoke.
I don't care who he fucks.
Acacia reared back. Rick's expression remained unchanged, as if giving further weight to his words. She took a moment to count to 10.
That's good, Rick, because it's none of your business.
My job is to protect him, even from his women.
Rick's American accent grew more pronounced. His expression was unchanged, but something glinted in his eyes. She refused to take the bait.
Thank you for protecting him.
Rick's carefully controlled expression slipped. He looked shocked.
We both want the same thing.
Her voice was low but firm.
We want him to be safe. I'd like to see him happy as well. I doubt that signifies for you.
When Rick didn't respond, she continued.
It would be better if we could coexist peacefully and professionally. But I don't want or need your approval.
She took a step forward, and her body relaxed, arms slack at her side. Rick glanced down at her arms, as if assessing a threat. She made eye contact.
Just to be clear, I know you carry a weapon. I'm still not afraid of you. Thank you for escorting me to the spa. Have a good evening.
She turned and ascended the staircase, feeling Rick's gaze follow her. It was after 9 o'clock before Acacia and Nicholas went to dinner. Nicholas dressed in a bespoke suit he'd purchased during a previous visit to Paris. He paired the black suit with a crisp white shirt, gold cufflinks, and a pale blue silk tie. Acacia wore a crimson silk suit. The jacket fastened with a black satin bow and had notched collars. Both the jacket and matching skirt were covered with a subdued black floral pattern. She was grateful the hotel was well air-conditioned. They dined at an intimate table in one of the hotel's lavish restaurants with an incredible view of the water. Then they returned to the suite, where he escorted her to the second floor. It had been a very long day, but Acacia's nerves tingled with anticipation. She noticed that the crate she'd seen earlier at the airport was now leaning against the wall between her room and Nicholas's.
"What's in the crate?"
Nicholas scratched his chin. "It's something that might come in handy when we meet Constantine's contact tomorrow. You've seen it before." Her eyebrows shot up.
"I have?"
"It's the Matisse reproduction you saw back in Paris." Acacia's eyes widened.
"Why is it here?"
"I use it as a way of moving art through customs. I bring it into a country, such as Dubai, and ensure that it's declared when I arrive, and that the papers are stamped. Then, if I happen to purchase a stolen painting during my visit, I hide it in a secret compartment at the back of the crate. When I return to Europe, customs sees that I declared the painting on arrival in Dubai and waves it through."
"Does that work?"
"Every time. However, I'm cautious about where I travel. With the support of the French Minister of the Interior, landing in France is preferable to other locations. If customs were to detain me, the minister would intervene."
Acacia stared at the crate. "It's so simple."
"The simplest solutions are usually the best solutions." He crooked a finger and moved to the open doorway of his bedroom. "Come here." Acacia glanced down the staircase to the front hall, where Kurt stood sentry. He didn't make eye contact.
"Come here,"
Nicholas repeated. He drew her attention away from the bodyguard. She pushed aside any twinges of embarrassment and smiled as her high heels clicked across the beautifully tiled floor. Nicholas waited for her to enter his room before he closed and locked the door behind him. "Are you tired?"
"No."
She examined the four-poster bed. It was very large and sat on a raised purple velvet platform. A circular, tasseled canopy hung over it, and heavy red and gold silk curtains draped the sides. It was the bed of a king. Nicholas stood between her and the bed.
"It's interesting, isn't it?"
"Very."
"Would you mind if we delayed our enjoyment of it?"
At the tone of his voice, Acacia's mouth went dry.
"All right."
He kissed her hand and led her to the opulent marble bathroom. "I've had the bath butler draw a bath in the jacuzzi."
"Bath butler?"
Acacia repeated. She took in the low, cushioned benches stacked with white towels that flanked the raised jacuzzi. She noted the generous assortment of Hermès amenities on the vanity. The Hotel Victoire offered a bath butler service, but only by request. Acacia had never experienced such luxury herself. Nicholas watched her eagerly.
"Take your time getting in. I'll join you shortly."
He kissed her and returned to the bedroom. Acacia touched her mouth with her fingertips. Nicholas was a gentleman, but he was certainly skilled in the erotic arts. His manners and thoughtfulness made him even more attractive. He'd seen her naked and had entered her body, yet he still offered her privacy while getting into the bath. She found herself strangely appreciative of it. Nicholas certainly knew how to feed desire. The music of Miles Davis wafted from speakers set into the ceiling. Acacia recalled from the Hotel Victoire's records that Nicholas enjoyed jazz. She surveyed the room. The bath butler had been busy. The lights were dimmed, and pillar candles had been placed artfully around the space. The scent of roses and sandalwood hung in the air. The jacuzzi's bubbling water echoed in the large space. Acacia carefully unfastened the necklace Nicholas had given her and arranged it on top of a folded towel. The smooth blue globes gleamed in the candlelight. She slipped out of her suit and hung it on an obliging hanger. She stood in her underwear in front of the several mirrors that lined the bathroom. She tossed her undergarments aside, climbed up to the jacuzzi, and carefully stepped into the steaming water. She sat on one of the benches inside the tub and leaned against a cushioned headrest. It was heavenly. As she watched rose petals dance across the surface of the water, images from the night before crowded her mind. Nicholas had suggested she use the jacuzzi early that morning because she was tender from their activities. Now, with the aid of the bath butler, Nicholas was insisting. Men like him were rare. She wondered at Silke letting him go. The thought that he'd brought Silke to similar places and wooed her in similar fashion rankled her. He deserved to be with someone who cared for him and wouldn't run off and humiliate him in front of tabloids and the world. A few minutes later, the door to the bathroom opened and closed. Nicholas approached the jacuzzi, clad in a white bathrobe. He stared, his gaze drawn to her bare shoulders. "May I join you?"
"Of course."
Nicholas undid his bathrobe and set it aside. This gave Acacia a moment to appreciate his form. As he leaned against one of the marble pillars that flanked the jacuzzi, his bicep flexed. He was in very good shape, everywhere. He stepped into the jacuzzi, and Acacia found herself hungry for him. She drew him onto the seat next to her and looped her arms around his neck, bringing her breasts to his chest. His hands slid down to cup her backside as their mouths fused.
"That's quite a welcome."
He tucked one of her long curls behind her ear.
"I wanted to thank you."
He slid his nose along hers.
"You don't need to thank me with your body, although it's a welcome gift. You care about my comfort. That means something to me."
He pushed another disobedient curl aside.
"How do you feel?"
"Relaxed. I enjoyed my visit to the spa. Thank you."
His thumb traced the crease between her hip and thigh.
"And here?"
She rolled her eyes.
"Perfectly fine."
"Certainly perfect." He touched her chin. "You don't know how you appear with those eyes of yours, surprised that someone would want to spoil you."
He looked at her resolutely.
"I'm eager to do more."
She gave him a half smile.
"I just want your company."
Nicholas sat back on one of the benches and pulled her to straddle him. He spanned her hips with his hands, under the water.
"Kiss me."
She tilted her head to take his mouth and tasted his lips leisurely before she pushed her tongue inside. His palm slid up her back and crushed her against his chest. She inclined her head the other way and tugged at his upper lip. Nicholas kissed his way to her chin and down to her neck. He licked at the skin and pulled it into his mouth. Acacia exposed her neck even more. He nipped a path to her collarbone and traced it with his finger. When she shivered at the sensation, he cradled her breast above the water and wrapped his mouth around her nipple. Acacia hummed and squirmed in his lap at the sensation. She could feel him lift between her legs, hard and wanting. He pulled on her nipple until she groaned. Then he took the other breast with his eager lips. Acacia massaged his scalp as he licked and sucked. She brought her knees to either side of his thighs on top of the bench.
"Wait."
He rubbed his stubbled chin against the center of her chest. He placed a kiss over her heart.
"Are you ready?"
She nodded and reached between them. His fingers had already dropped between her legs. He touched her tentatively at first. When she began to lift up and move her hips, he applied more pressure. She kissed him deeply.
"I'm ready. Let me open you a little."
Gently, his fingers quested her entrance and moved inside. He curled his fingers, and Acacia gasped. With a smile, he reached behind him to a discreetly hidden box. He dried his fingers on a towel before he retrieved a condom.
"I'm afraid I'll have to move you."
He placed her next to him on the bench and stood. The water rolled off his chest and abdomen as if he were a sea god emerging from the surf. Quickly and efficiently, he rolled on the condom and sank below the water once again.
"Now."
He smiled and lifted her by the hips, positioning her over him. She sank down slowly, eyes closed. When the backs of her thighs met the top of his, she moaned and raised herself. Up and down, she moved against his exquisite fullness.
"How do you feel?"
he whispered.
"Incredible."
He gripped her hips and pushed and pulled. She had to place her hands on his shoulders to steady herself.
"Mmm,"
she hummed. The water bubbled and sloshed around them, and rose petals gathered around their bodies. Nicholas nosed a petal aside as he lowered his mouth to her breast.
"Yes."
Her voice was a throaty groan. She wasn't going to last. He was positioned just right, and the pleasure began to build. Her up-and-down motion stuttered, and he drew back. His grip tightened as he maintained a steady motion while she orgasmed. The sensations were so intense, it felt like diving off a mountain. Acacio was in free fall as her body tightened and a wave of euphoria overtook her.
"That's it."
His voice spurred her on as he continued to move her up and down.
"Magnificent."
She opened her eyes as the orgasm began to wane. Nicholas's mouth was open, and he breathed heavily, still raising her up and pulling her down. The cords of his neck stood out, and the muscles in his arms bunched and flexed. His eyes burned into hers.
"Now,"
he groaned, as she sank down on him. She ground her hips as his body tensed. He continued to stare into her eyes as he pulsed inside her, his mouth going slack. She blinked against his intense gaze, the moment heavy between them. His expression changed. Somehow, it grew fierce. His hand squeezed her backside.
"Incredible."
She collapsed against him and rested her head on his shoulder. Her hands drooped at her sides.
"You slayed me."
He hugged her.
"So sweet."
She breathed a happy sigh. He kissed her forehead.
"Mon trésor. We're good together now."
"Very good."
She closed her eyes.
"Are you going to fall asleep?"
His voice was tinged with amusement.
"Maybe."
His mouth grazed the shell of her ear.
"I'm still inside you."
"Yes."
She shifted on his lap.
"I like you there."
"Good."
He chuckled. "I like it there, too.
I'm sorry it was such a long day. Tomorrow will be better."
He kissed below her ear. She didn't open her eyes.
"Just a minute."
He withdrew from her body and moved her to the bench. Quickly, he disposed of the condom. Then he sat next to her and whispered a kiss against her shoulder.
"I think it's time for bed."
"The way you looked at me at the end. It's almost as if you..."
Abruptly, Acacia closed her mouth. Her face flamed. Nicholas stiffened.
"I almost what?"
"Nothing."
She climbed onto his lap and nuzzled his neck.
"I'm in the afterglow and babbling."
"I doubt you've babbled a day in your life."
He played with her hair, sifting through the black curls. Acacia decided to change the subject before she said something foolish.
"Can I ask you about this?"
She touched his scar. Nicholas froze. She pulled back. She'd let her guard down and was forcing intimacies that weren't warranted. She cursed herself. Nicholas fished her hand from under the water.
"I'll tell you someday. Not tonight."
"I'm sorry for prying. It doesn't matter."
His head shot up.
"It doesn't."
"No."
She straightened on his lap. With her other hand, she lifted the curls that framed the right side of her face, twisting the strands to expose a 2-inch slash of skin where hair no longer grew.
"What's that?"
Nicholas dropped her hand and angled her head so he could see.
"I had stitches when I was young. My curls hide it."
Nicholas traced the area with his thumb.
"How did it happen?"
"A fight between my father and mother. I was caught in the middle."
Acacia adopted a stoic expression.
"The hair never grew back."
Nicholas's eyes met hers. Slowly and deliberatively, he pressed his lips to the raised skin.
Are there more?
None that you can see.
She smiled a little too brightly. His expression darkened.
I meant what I said in Coligny. Anyone who fucks with you fucks with me.
There was a time when I couldn't take care of myself. That time is past.
Nicholas looked as if he were about to give voice to his disagreement, but thought better of it.
Our scars don't define us,
she said simply.
I'm afraid you're wrong, Sherry. At least in my case.
He released her hand. Water droplets fell from her fingers as she breached the water. She traced his scar, barely skimming the surface of the furrowed skin. Then she kissed it, inch by inch. He caught her fingers and brought their connection to his heart.
What sweetness I hold in my arms.
You have a noble soul, Nicholas. You've been thoughtful and generous. I'm very lucky.
He cupped the back of her head with his hand.
You wouldn't think I was noble if you knew what was in my soul.
I'm not saying you're perfect, but whatever imperfection you have, it's marked by nobility.
He groaned.
If you only knew.
I have my own darkness, Nicholas. I'm not inclined to discuss it, but you should know it's there.
He regarded her thoughtfully. Acacia noticed he didn't appear surprised. He shifted on the bench, and he lowered his hand to cup her breast.
Let me take you to bed. I want to taste you.
Now?
She blinked, surprised by his sudden change.
Yes.
Okay.
She ducked her head and made a show of examining her hands.
My fingers are starting to wrinkle anyway. I need to get out.
She extricated herself from his embrace and lifted a thick white towel from a nearby alcove.
Acacia.
He touched her wrist.
You can always refuse.
She looked down at the towel.
Why would I refuse when you offer me pleasure?
Because we're equals.
He rubbed his face.
Because we're friends as well as lovers. And I would never take advantage.
Acacia sighed. The power differential was there. It could not be denied. His expression was almost pleading.
Patience.
She wasn't quite sure why he asked for patience, or why he'd looked so guilty when she praised him. There would be time enough to ponder those questions later. She gave him a smile.
I think you owe me an encounter on a dining room table.
He gaped at her for a moment. Then he grinned. Chapter 37 Acacia refused to be embarrassed as she and Nicholas passed Kurt's evening replacement in the downstairs hall.
Don't disturb us,
Nicholas called over his shoulder. He followed Acacia into the dining room and switched on the lights. A large, ornate chandelier swung over the table. Nicholas adjusted the dimmer switch until he was satisfied with the soft lighting. Acacia hopped up on the mahogany table. He closed the door and stood before it. He stared at her legs as they hung over the end of the table. Excitement, mixed with apprehension, coursed through her. Even though he just had her in the jacuzzi upstairs, Nicholas looked hungry.
Take off the robe.
Acacia unfastened the knot at her waist. She gave him a questioning look. He nodded. She pushed the robe off and it fell around her. Now she was naked. She bit her lip. One of the bodyguards was just beyond the door. He would know what they were doing.
Forget about him,
Nicholas commanded. He pushed off the door and moved in her direction.
Are you cold?
No.
He eyed her breasts suspiciously.
If you get cold, tell me. You look beautiful.
He caressed her naked shoulders and cupped her breasts.
You look absolutely perfect.
Her skin heated under his undisguised appreciation.
Thank you.
He stroked her knees.
I'm in the mood to feast.
Nicholas knelt in front of the table and pulled her legs over his shoulders.
Lie back.
Acacia reclined and stared up at the chandelier as Nicholas massaged her calves. He nuzzled her inner thigh before he kissed the top of her hip. He repeated the actions on her other leg. Acacia reached down to touch his head. She ran her fingers through his damp hair. Then he touched her with his open mouth. His tongue tasted and retreated and tasted again. He nibbled at her skin and teased her with his lips. She tugged on his hair to pull him closer. Nicholas chuckled and began to lick. Acacia couldn't keep her eyes open. She flattened her hand against the top of his head and urged him forward. He licked in an alternating pattern before he touched the flat of his tongue where she desired him most. She let out a loud moan and brought her ankles to his shoulders. The leverage enabled her to lift her hips and drive herself into his open mouth. He applied more pressure with his tongue, and she soared as inchoate sounds escaped her lips. Her back arched off the table as she held his mouth to her. He continued to taste her until her legs began to shake, and she released his head.
"It's too much," she whispered.
She shifted backward. Carefully, Nicholas removed her feet from his shoulders. He stood between her legs and wiped his mouth on the sleeve of his bathrobe. Almost dazed, she looked up and fanned a hand over her lower abdomen.
"I can still feel you."
"Good." He gave her a devilish grin. His eyes devoured her. Then he grasped the edges of her robe and draped them over her.
"I don't want you to catch cold."
"Come here."
She lifted her arm to beckon him. He placed his hands on either side of her hips and leaned closer. She kissed him deeply. When they parted, he slid his hands around her back and assisted her to a seated position. He drew the robe around her shoulders and tied the belt at her waist.
"Was that playful enough for you?"
He kissed her nose. All she could do was grin. Chapter 38 Attraction, anticipation, satisfaction, comfort. Acacia was naked with Nicholas, her head resting on his shoulder. He reclined on his back in a bed designed for a king. His arm curved around her shoulders, and his fingers made lazy patterns on her arm. She touched his abdomen and rested her hand above the valleys of his muscles.
"Are you awake?"
His voice was just above a whisper. She nodded. He chuckled.
"I thought you'd fallen asleep."
"You woke me up."
His fingers brushed her elbow.
"I could say the same."
"These moments are dangerous."
She yawned in spite of herself and nestled against his shoulder again.
"Why?"
His movement stilled.
"It's peaceful and cozy. These are the times people are tempted to say grand things they don't mean."
"Like what?"
"Oh, I don't know."
She slid her hand up to his chest, near his heart. Nicholas continued stroking her arm.
"I don't say things I don't mean."
"Good."
His right hand came up to cover hers at his chest.
"I'm serious."
She kissed his shoulder.
"So when I tell you we are good together, Acacia, I mean it."
She grinned.
"You aren't wrong."
He brought his lips to her hair.
"I asked you to be patient with me, but you should know. I can be patient too. Very, very patient."
She lifted her head from his shoulder so she could see his eyes.
"What would you need to be patient for?"
He smiled slowly, and Acacia's heart skipped a beat. He guided her mouth to his and kissed her.
"Sleep, mon ange."
Acacia rested her head next to his on the pillow and closed her eyes. Chapter 39 The next day, Nicholas and Acacia were accompanied by Rick and Kurt to one of the restaurants in the hotel atrium. They were scheduled to have afternoon tea with Constantine's contact at 2 o'clock. As ever, Nicholas was dressed in a bespoke black suit. On this occasion, he paired the suit with an equally fine black shirt and monochromatic silk tie.
He and the contact shook hands and exchanged polite greetings.
And this is my interpreter.
Nicholas gestured to Acacia, who stepped forward. She wore a conservative black dress that fell to her knees. A short, emerald-green silk jacket covered her arms. Black stockings and high heels completed her ensemble. They stood in a private corner of the restaurant that faced the enormous windows looking out over Dubai. Constantine's contact stood aloof, flanked by four bodyguards. He wore a navy blue suit and tie. His hair was gray, and he wore a full beard. His dark eyes gazed at Acacia skeptically. He returned his attention to Nicholas.
I was under the impression this was a private meeting.
The man spoke flawless English.
I brought my interpreter as a courtesy. I'm afraid my Arabic isn't equal to your English.
Nicholas tried to make light of the situation. The man's eyes darted to Acacia's. He switched to Arabic.
I doubt this woman's knowledge of the language is equal to mine.
That is probably true, sir,
Acacia replied, also in Arabic.
But I am always eager to practice and improve.
The man studied her. He gave her a brief nod and continued to speak to Nicholas in English.
There's no need for an interpreter. We can speak English, but I prefer privacy.
The man waved a hand at his bodyguards, who withdrew to a few feet away. Nicholas made eye contact with Acacia. She read an apology in his expression, one he could not give voice to in present company. She wanted to volunteer the fact that she didn't care that she'd been dismissed, but in the role of his assistant, she couldn't. She gave him a small smile instead. Nicholas inclined his head. He gestured to Rick and Kurt and turned back to Acacia.
You're free to go. Security will escort you.
He gave her a look, heavy with meaning.
Very good, sir.
Acacia bobbed her head. As she'd suspected, Constantine's contact was traditional, if not paranoid. He didn't want an audience for his conversation. Acacia also noted that names had not been exchanged. She walked with Kurt across the expansive atrium toward the elevators. She was deep in thought, not just about Nicholas's meeting, but also about her activities with Nicholas the night before. After their encounter on the dining room table, he'd carried her to bed. They'd both slept well, naked and wrapped around one another. In fact, it had probably been the most restful sleep she'd ever had. She smiled and thought of the delights that awaited her in Nicholas's arms. Then something caught her attention. She turned and saw an older man in a finely tailored gray suit, surrounded by black-suited bodyguards. The man walked swiftly across the atrium. She stopped and stared. Another similarly suited man, who was much younger, greeted the man. They clasped one another's arms. She caught a glimpse of the older man's face. Her heart seemed to pause in her chest. Time grew elastic and slowed to a crawl. The man had aged, of course, and his black hair was now mixed with white, but she would know his face anywhere. And if that were in doubt, she recognized the signet ring he wore on his right hand as he released the man he'd greeted and smoothed his gray tie. Acacia put her head down and walked as fast as she could toward the elevator. Behind her, Kurt hastened to keep pace. Her heart thumped wildly, and the blood sang in her ears. She resisted the urge to run, but was careful to face the elevators, her back toward the man. She pressed the elevator button.
"What's wrong?"
Kurt asked in French.
"Nothing," she lied. "Let's go."
When the elevators opened, she rushed in and kept her back to the atrium. She touched the Hamsa pendant at her wrist and prayed with all her might the man hadn't seen her. When the doors closed, she sagged against the wall and covered her face with her hands.
"What just happened? Do I need to call the boss?"
Kurt bent over her. She lowered her hands.
"No."
He looked concerned.
"Are you sick?"
"No."
She eyed the security camera in the top corner of the elevator.
"I'm fine."
When the elevator opened on their floor, she crossed the threshold and broke into a run. She hurled herself across the thick carpet to the suite and quickly swiped her key card. Kurt followed. Acacia pulled off her heels as she entered the hall and tossed them aside. She climbed the stairs to her room as fast as she could.
What's going on?
Kurt entered her room, just behind her. Acacia didn't turn around.
There are security cameras in the elevator, and probably audio surveillance. You know that.
She jogged into the massive dressing room that adjoined her bedroom. Kurt stood in the doorway.
What are you doing?
She picked up a pair of sensible, flat shoes and slipped them on.
I'm going to the airport and taking the first flight out. I don't care where it goes.
I have to tell him. Kurt's voice was firm. Her eyes flashed.
Tell him after I'm gone.
Kurt frowned and disappeared from view. She punched a security code into the dressing room safe and opened it. She grabbed her passports, her cash, and her burner cell phone and threw them into her handbag. There was no time to pack clothes. Then she remembered the necklace. It would take precious minutes to retrieve it, but Acacia wasn't going to leave it behind. She threw caution to the wind and flew across the hall into Nicholas's room. She raced past the bed and into the bathroom. The lapis necklace was still where she'd placed it the night before. She picked it up and quickly put it on. Her fingers shook as she tried several times to fasten it. Finally, the catch caught, and she was able to close it. She ran back to her room and unplugged her laptop, then tossed it and its cord into a tote bag. She looked around anxiously for her cell phone. Then she realized it was in her jacket pocket. She pulled out the phone and switched it off, in case someone tried to use it to track her. She didn't have time to remove the SIM card. She'd have to do it at the airport. Acacia swung her handbag over her shoulder and grabbed her tote bag.
You're leaving?
Nicholas's voice came from behind her. She whirled around.
Yes. Were you going to tell me?
His tone barely concealed his anger. She kept her head down and moved toward the door.
There isn't time.
He slammed the door shut behind him and stood in front of it, fists clenched.
Why? I have to go.
Her voice was pleading.
I'm in danger here.
Nicholas's eyes narrowed.
Not for me.
She tried to move past him, but he blocked her.
Tell me what's going on.
Her hands went to her hair and pulled.
I saw someone in the atrium.
Who?
Omar Zaid Hirzallah.
She whispered.
I have to get out of here.
Nicholas took a step closer.
Who is he? Nicholas, please.
She begged.
I can't help you if you won't tell me what you're afraid of.
Frightened tears formed in her eyes.
He's an arms dealer. He's dangerous. Please let me go.
Nicholas looked stunned.
How do you know an arms dealer?
She hesitated.
Acacia.
He bowed his head and almost brought their noses together.
Tell me who this man is, right now.
She swallowed the lump in her throat. Her gaze darted to the door. She was wasting precious time. She looked back at Nicholas.
He's my father.
Chapter 40 Nicholas's head jerked back.
Your father? I need to get out of the hotel before he comes for me.
Nicholas passed a hand over his mouth.
Then you aren't leaving because of me. Of course not.
She wiped a tear away.
But if you don't get away from that door, I'm going to remove you.
He lifted his hands.
Let me help you. Tell me what happened. There's nothing you can do.
She pushed past him and opened the door.
I saw my father. I don't think he saw me, but if he did, he'll come after me. He'll find my mother. I need to go to the airport. Slow down.
He caught her elbow. Where's your mother now?
Recife. Are you sure it was your father? I saw his face, and the ring he always wore.
Nicholas led her into the hall.
You can call your mother on a secure line. I'll arrange to move her to safety. You can do that?
Acacia sniffled and wished she had a tissue. He touched his lips to her forehead.
We'll move her temporarily until we decide what to do next. No matter who your father is, he won't make a move inside the hotel. I'll arrange for additional security. I'll notify hotel security as well.
Acacia pulled on his arm.
If you raise the alarm with the hotel, he'll find out.
Nicholas surveyed her tears.
I'll speak with my security team, and we'll come up with an alternative.
As they approached the staircase, Acacia caught sight of Kurt. His eyes were alert, He followed Nicholas and Acacia down the stairs and into the media room that had become a security hub. As soon as Nicholas entered the room, Wen and Rick stood at attention.
Wen, I need a secure line. Acacia is going to call Brazil.
Nicholas guided her to a low couch. He pulled her handbag and tote from her shoulders and placed them next to her. He withdrew a silk handkerchief from his breast pocket. Tenderly, he wiped her face.
You need a drink.
He deposited the silk into her hand.
I'll be right back.
Rick, come with me. The bodyguard stepped forward, his eyes narrowed at Acacia. She ignored him, her mind racing. Rick and Nicholas walked across the hall in the direction of the dining room. Acacia heard them talking, but couldn't make out the words. Kurt stood in the doorway and looked over his shoulder, as if determining Nicholas and Rick's location. He approached the couch.
I had to tell him. I work for him.
Acacia nodded and clutched the handkerchief. Kurt crouched down in front of her.
I wouldn't have let anyone get near you. My job is to keep you safe. Understand? I understand,
she replied dully.
But you have to disclose any and all threats to us. We can handle surprises, but we don't like them. Neither does the boss.
Seeming satisfied, Kurt returned to his position in the doorway and watched for his employer's return. Wen handed her a phone and addressed her in English.
This line is secure. Do you know the number?
She nodded. She dialed with trembling fingers. When her mother answered, Acacia breathed a sigh of relief. Immediately she switched to Portuguese.
May, where are you now?
I'm in bed,
her mother answered, sounding sleepy.
What time is it?
It doesn't matter. Listen, May, you have to get up. I saw him.
There was a pause on the other end of the line.
What did you say?
Him, May. I saw him. I don't know if he saw me, but I can't take that chance. You have to get up and pack a bag.
Acacia heard the rustle of bedclothes.
Where are you?
Her mother asked. Acacia shut her eyes tightly.
Dubai.
Dubai?
Her mother shouted. What are you doing in Dubai?
I'm here with a friend. We've arranged for someone to come and get you. They'll take you to a safe place.
You stupid girl. You knew better than to go to that part of the world. Are you crazy?
Now we have to start all over again.
Her mother swore. Acacia stifled a sob.
I'm sorry, Mame.
Nicholas stood over her and gestured to the phone. Acacia handed it over.
Mrs. Santos, this is Nicholas Casira.
He spoke in English. Acacia overheard her mother replying in English.
I'm Acacia's boyfriend. Pack a bag and be ready to leave your apartment in less than an hour. I'm sending someone to get you. You can ask him for the password. The password is Santorini.
Nicholas's eyes met Acacia's. She heard her mother haranguing Nicholas in a mixture of Portuguese and English.
Mrs. Santos, he interjected, you need to get ready now. Take everything you value with you, including your passport. Call me at this number if there's a problem.
He waited for her acquiescence. Acacia heard her mother agree tersely before hanging up. Nicholas pulled the device from his ear and frowned. He handed it off to Wen before he retrieved a drink from a nearby table.
You look like you need this.
He placed the glass in Acacia's hands.
I'll make another.
She sipped the vodka and tonic gratefully, as her mother's curses echoed in her ears. Acacia opened her eyes. She looked up at the canopy that hung over Nicholas's bed. Confused, she turned to her side. Nicholas watched her from a nearby armchair. He'd removed his suit jacket and tie and rolled up the sleeves of his shirt. His expression was subdued, his eyes wary.
How are you feeling?
Disoriented.
She sat up and noticed she'd shed her green jacket, but was still in her dress and stockings.
What time is it?
It's after 5.
I've been asleep for 2 hours?
Yes.
He crossed over to the bed and sat next to her.
You were in shock. Your adrenaline crashed, and you fell asleep on the couch downstairs.
Maybe it was the vodka and tonic.
Acacia rubbed her head.
You didn't give me something, did you?
Certainly not.
His temper flared.
I admit the drink was strong, but you needed it. You were shaking like a leaf.
She lifted her head.
My mother.
She's in a safe house in Manaus. She's